You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. Look, now I'll start the melody on the organ.
It's Spare the Rock with Bill and Ella. It's Spare the Rock and sometimes Liam. It's Spare the Rock time. It's time for Spare the Rock.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, Indie Music for Indie Kids. Bill Childs with you, as I am every week. Come to you from our flagship station, KUTX 98.9. Music here from They Might Be Giants. It's 4 of 2.
Underneath a big clock at the corner of 5th Avenue and 22nd Street, I stood and waited for a girl I knew at the spot where we agreed to meet. It was 4 minutes of 2. At 4 of 2, I stood waiting for the girl. I was 4 minutes early for the date we had planned. I was planning to say I was in love with her just as soon as she showed for a 2 o'clock. At 4 of 2, I was staring into space. She was not yet late, according to the clock. I was feeling nervous, so I kept looking up at the clock sticking out of the side of the building, and it still said 4 of 2. At 4 of 2, I began to feel tired, and I rubbed my eyes, and again I checked the time. It seemed as if the sky was growing dark, but I felt reassured when I looked at the clock and it still said 4 of 2. I lay my head down on the sidewalk so in case she were coming I would have a better view, but no one was there, so I stretched out and closed my eyes for a second or two. It was 4 minutes of 2. At once I awoke to a futuristic world. There were flying cars and gigantic metal bugs. I'd grown a beard, it was long and white, but I knew that the girl would be coming very soon. For though everything had changed, there was still that clock, and it still said 4 of 2.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, and we are joined live in the studio by Jeremy Messersmith. How are you today, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you here. I want to ask you a few questions, but should we start off, just get right into a song? What would you like to play?
Well, I'd like to sing a song that I wrote for my friends who have kids, and the whole point of this song was to make their kids really annoying and irritating. So here we go.
You might know Abracadabra, you might know Shazam. Sprinkle in some hocus pocus, please and thank you, ma'am. But there's a word that beats them all, I'll bet you haven't tried. The only magic word I know is why. Why? You should see how far you get asking why. You will thank me in the end asking why. Because you never know just what you'll find. Other magic words include what and how and when. Just throw in a question mark every now and then. If those words won't do the trick and satisfy your mind, when in doubt, just keep on asking why.
It's been a while since I've had kids of the right age for that to really resonate, but yes, successful indeed.
Yeah, I've heard field reports that it has been successful. And, the only bad thing is at a show, I play it and it immediately backfires as soon as the song is done.
Because everybody's asking why.
Yeah, there's a chorus of children asking why.
That is
a
problem.
Like, oh, I've lost control.
It's Jeremy Messersmith here in the studio, and I've listened to you for a bunch of years, but the record that really kind of made me say, oh, wait, there's stuff here I could play on the radio for children, was the 11 Obscenely Optimistic Songs record, and there's an accompanying songbook for ukulele. And I think that was 2017. 2017,
yep,
right?
That's correct.
So, you know, I think I told you before we came on the air that I worked on Paul Wellstone's first Senate campaign way back in 1990. And so that song echoing him, "We All Do Better When We All Do Better," it was really connected with me. So just tell us about that project. It's a not a lot of stuff coming out with a songbook these days, and with a songbook first even.
Yeah, well, it kind of came out of a writing trip that I took down to Lanesboro, Minnesota over the winter. So I guess 2016 into 2017. And it'd been just a time of kind of soul searching. And, you know, politically, there was a lot going on.
It was a fraught time.
And
unfortunately, it's no longer a fraught time.
Oh, no. Oh, we've moved past it. We've grown so much. but my whole thing was like, it would be really fun to just kind of write what I believe in the simplest way possible. And I just started thinking like of the kind of gigs that I was going to be having over the next few years. And I was going to be playing a lot of like fundraisers and rallies and things like that. And what are some things I can get behind? So I thought about the songs that were kind of the most meaningful in my life. And those weren't the songs that I listened to. They were the songs that I sung. Like I literally sung as a kid. So yeah. I was like, you know, it would be fun to write a book where people literally get to like hear these songs in their own voice before they even hear my version of it, you know?
Oh, that's so great.
So we released the songbook like weeks before we released the album to give people a chance to just, if you can read music, you can sit down and you can debut a whole new song. And it was just wonderful. We got people singing from all over the world. It just went everywhere. It was a whole new kind of musical ecosystem. And I picked the ukulele because it's so much fun to play. And my favorite thing is when middle-aged rock and rollers discover the ukulele and they're like, oh, this is fun again. You know, Eddie Vedder and George Harrison, like this is just fun. And it's the most, you know, popular instrument in the world. So I was like, this is a true folk instrument. So that's where the songs came from.
Yeah. There's a nonprofit in Austin that I was on the board of called Groundwork Music Project. And it was sort of their mission. I don't know if it's the mission exactly, but was to replace the recorder with the ukulele as sort of the entry level point, because A, it sounds a lot better even when you're bad at it. Right.
Yes.
But it's exactly what you're saying. It's like, it is such a foundational instrument and it's wonderful. Do you want to play a song from that? Even though we don't have a ukulele here.
It's funny. Just because I forgot to bring one, but, well, I'm going to play, this is right from Senator Paul Wellstone.
There we go.
We all do better when we all do better. We all do better when we all do better. That means everyone. All genders and colors just love one another. We'll have so much fun. We all do better when we all do better. That means everything. The lakes and the rivers, the streams and the critters, all that lives and breathes. We all do better when we all do better. That means everywhere. So go tell your neighbors and even the strangers, there's so much to share.
It's from 11 Obscenely Optimistic Songs. Live in the studio, it's Jeremy Messersmith. You know, one question that I ask folks sometimes, and it echoes what you were talking about just before that, is thinking about what you listened to and what you sang, I guess, when you were growing up. Was there a particular artist, particular album, particular song that made you say, oh, music has got to be what I do, or at least found it, maybe it's not the only thing I do, but it's got to be part of my life. Was there a moment when that happened for you?
Yeah, there was. It was when I was around 11 years old and I got my first Walkman radio.
Sweet.
And the world just opened up for me. Before that, I had done music a lot as a kid growing up in church. So I played the trumpet.
Nice.
And I sang. So, you know, I had the experience of like singing old hymns and things like that and listening to, you know, the church ladies kind of harmonizing around me. But then once I got that Walkman, then it was like, oh,
There's a whole other world.
Yeah, there's a whole other world. But the thing that really drew me was there was, and hopefully this doesn't offend too many people, I listened a lot to an oldies station, which was, you know, a lot of those melodies just feel hewn from stone for me. So that was kind of like my education was, you know, any band that started with the from, you know, the 50s and the 60s, yep. I was all about it. And it was, you know, me kind of like doing my chores around the little hobby farm I grew up on. And I remember hanging out in the barn and just like listening and singing. And it was... The way it made me feel singing those songs was just like, oh yeah, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what humans are meant to do. This is great.
That's so cool. Yeah, I think I might be a little bit older than you, but not a lot. I remember about that same age, I lived in Oklahoma listening to KMOD out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was a classic rock station. So it was a lot of Kansas and the Scorpions and the Beatles and so on and so forth. And stuff that I listen to the Beatles still. Don't listen to the other stuff still. But it is something about that clicks, and I don't perform music, but that was sort of the thing that started me on radio for sure.
It really draws you in. It's like there's a deep river there, and it just like, oh, like you can kind of just throw yourself in, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, we had John Legend on the show a little while ago, and
he's got a new
children's album out, and we were talking about that. And he also grew up in the church, and we talked about how neither of us are particularly sure how religious we are anymore. But that to the extent we are, that thing where people are singing together, whether they're good at it or not, is as close to spiritual as I think I am committed to saying I am.
Yeah, I would argue that in just about anything that we do communally in life, there should be a song for something. And I will say, I don't think it matters even really what the song is, but the whole act of singing together just synchronizes large groups of people together. And it's just powerful. I feel like that's how you kind of like navigate large groups and get them to work together.
I think that's right. Changing from the spiritual to a little bit more mundane, I think the most recent song you have is about hoping to get in the New York Times crossword puzzle. Any success on that front yet?
Oh, no. I'm still an abject New York Times crossword failure in that respect. It's a real homespun campaign. And the funniest part about it is putting out a song called the New York Times crossword puzzle, which I'm just pandering very directly to be in the crossword
puzzle. Very much so, yes.
Is that I've had probably, I don't know, a dozen people come up to me, like people that I know who are like, oh, I know someone at the New York Times, and believe me, they're working on it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to keep looking. I hope that, you know, this artist, one of the problems is your name is quite long.
Well, yes.
So, I mean, it would have to be probably the first name to be. Would Messersmith even fit across? It would be tight.
It would really be an effort. I have been doing the crossword puzzle a bunch over the last couple months, and I figured out how it would be in. It would have to be in under notable Jeremy's. So it'd be Renner and Messersmith or something.
Like, Renner was the only one I could come up with. There's got to be another one.
Alan White. Alan White is another one from the show.
From the Bear.
I would have to be clustered with some other Jeremy's in there in order for me to make it in.
Is Jeremy Messersmith, you want to do one more song for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to do... well, this is my show ender, and it's just my wish for the whole world, a little song about how good the future can be.
Gotta say the future's awesome. Everything is A-okay. All the work is done by robots, and every day is Saturday. And future people all have jetpacks and fly around in flying cars. But there's so much that I could tell you, but the coolest part by far, everybody gets a kitten, a new one every single day. Everybody gets a kitten that you can name if you want, or you can give it away. Well, there is no disease or hunger, there's zero poverty or war. Life is just a giant party, and no one here is ever bored. And all the factories burn rainbows, and you can buy a house on Mars. Well, there's so much that I could tell you, but the coolest part by far, everybody gets a kitten, a new one every single day. Everybody gets a kitten that you can name if you want or not. Everybody gets a kitten, a new one every single day. Everybody gets a kitten that you can name if you want, or you can give it away.
And you can get a hypoallergenic kitten, I trust.
In the future.
In the future, yeah. In the future, just no more allergies. I would say that we were talking about Jonathan Coulton before you came out. I think that feels like kind of adjacent to a Jonathan Coulton song.
Oh, I feel like that's very close to the Coulton verse of songwriting, sure. I think. I occasionally dabble in basically Jonathan Coulton fan fiction songs, really. Adjacent. We're adjacent mirror universes.
Indeed, yeah. Well, it's Jeremy Messersmith. Folks listening in the Twin Cities, you've got three shows coming up the Parkway in Minneapolis and one down in Red Wing. What can people expect at those shows?
Well, it's going to be a spooky romp through life, death, love, with a little dash of magic and the devil. You know, just for good measure.
Excellent. And kid-friendly, so they can come and yell Y at you after that
Absolutely.
Song if you happen to throw that in.
Absolutely.
Information about those shows at jeremymessersmith.com. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming by. It's been great to have you here.
This has been so fun. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks again to Jeremy Messersmith for stopping by and singing some songs and saying some words. Lovely to have him here. When I was listening back to that, when he talks about he feels like everything, every human endeavor should have a song with it, that kind of struck me as pretty great. Music is important to you, by the way, and you're listening to KUTX 98.9. Pledge Drive starts tomorrow. Become a member. Information about that will be up at KUTX.org. It'd be great for you to be there. And if you do join, or if you renew, or if you donate in any way, let them know you like Spare the Rock. Music here from John Sampson. It's Five Little Monkeys.
Monkey. He went home, put on his bicycle helmet, took out health insurance, and did it again.
One little monkey jumping on the bed, one fell down and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. No more jumping on the bed. Bye.
in the morning, I'm so glad I get up and jump on Daddy's bed. Then Daddy sings a song that he made up yesterday. I like to sing along. I like to sing along. It goes la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. I love you. Then we get up, we all get dressed and go outside, feed the kitty, stretch our bones and come alive. Then we like to sing a song that we made up yesterday. We like to sing a song.
That is Rosie Flores. She will be opening up the fall Rock the Park series for those of you listening in Austin. 6:30 on Friday, September 27th, 7:15 San Gabriel will be on. It'll be so great to have her out there. Go to KUTX.org and click on events for more information about that. And again, member drive starts tomorrow. Donate. It'd be great. Right now, though, is the point of the show when I need your help. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you if you have a question. You're going to say yes. I am then going to ask you what that question is, and you're going to yell as loudly as you can, so loudly I can hear you all the way here in the studio. You're going to yell, "Are you prepared to rock?" Okay, got it? Cool. Hey, everybody, do you have a question for me? You do. Excellent. What is that question? I am, in fact, prepared to rock, but first advice from They Might Be Giants.
Consideration is the thing we call the rock. Second on the list is a rock child, a child that's been fully prepared. Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock. Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock now. Bill, Ella, sometimes they rock.
Love that version of Red Red Robin that we just heard from Rosie Flores, who, again, playing Rock the Park this Friday. But sometimes you hear that and you might not remember that she is the first lady of Texas rockabilly. She is one heck of a guitar player. So here's Rosie Flores again, Surf Demon number five.
Second World War, two basic patterns began to influence the growing science of space.